We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
How are you? Hey, good morning. Doing fine.
I was texting some people last night because I saw that Paige Cortez's bill was still to be heard today, I think. Let me just shut up and let you explain to us where we are with sports wagering in Louisiana as we approach his final day.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's two pieces left of the puzzle. I'll do a quick recap, as we've done before, which is you have the regulatory aspect, which is the Senate President's bill, which sets up the rules and regulations and who gets the licenses. Then you have the tax and fee bill, along with the lottery bill, which allows retail, which is in my bill, which has already been signed by the governor. So that one's passed. And then finally, you have Rick Ward's bill, which spends the money. Rick Ward's bill is currently over on the Senate awaiting concurrence. And so the Senate President's bill is in what we call conference right now, where the two sides get together over amendments awaiting final approval as well. I actually met with the Senate President this morning. We had a real good conversation. I expect smooth sailing on his bill, whether we add some language in conference or just decide to go ahead and pass it straight out of there. So that's where we stand right now. Those other two pieces, we're still awaiting final approval, but we're on the track.
So what was it that I guess people in the House objected to, or what is being discussed as it relates to Paige Cortez's amendment? And to recap, Rick Ward's bill, in terms of where the money goes, it's going to default to the general fund. So that's not key to this happening as much as Paige Cortez's bill is, correct?
No, you're exactly right. If Rick Ward's bill doesn't pass, sports betting will still be available in Louisiana as long as the Senate President's bill passes. The Senate President, after we had added some amendments on the House side, and so when I sent it back over to the Senate, they can either just concur in those amendments and say, fine, yeah, we like what y'all did with the bill, or they can say that we need to take another look at this and send it to conference. The Senate President chose to send it to conference to just check all the language, I think, no major changes. And so I expect we'll come to an agreement pretty quickly today. And that was one of the topics he and I discussed this morning.
What were the amendments?
Well, we added language changes, pretty minor. I mean, sports betting is still, as we have discussed, it's full mobile with 20 licenses going to the 20 land-based and riverboat casinos and the racetracks, as well as two mobile licenses per of those 20 licenses, so 40 total mobile licenses. That's the meat of the bill, you know. Senator Ward's bill yesterday, we added another small amendment so that as the money is split up in Senator Ward's bill, 60% of the money is undedicated, so we'll go to the general fund. 25% of the money will go to early childhood education. 10% of the money will go to the locals. And then the rest of the percentages are split up in small pieces that either go to addiction counseling or to another element, which is, disability services.
I guess I just, when I saw this last night, I got a little bit nervous after all of the conversations that you and I have had about this. And is any of this unanticipated? The clock is ticking. And I just thought this would have been on a governor's desk or at least headed there by now.
Yeah, you know, look, as my experience in the legislature, I think this is either my fourth or fifth year. We like to wait to the last minute on a lot of things, but no, there are no major problems with this bill. That was part of the discussion this morning. I think we're good. There might be some minor language tweaks, but overall, I think we're good. I don't want to guarantee anything, kind of similar to our last conversation, but we are in a very, very good pack, we are on a very good path to making sure that sports betting becomes a reality here in Louisiana, and I'm extremely confident about that.
So nothing's changed in terms of substantially changed in terms of where people would bet, how they would bet, when they would bet, et cetera. These are just, and I don't want you to do some negotiating in public that would cause some trouble, John, but just like minor technical things like
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to make sure with three elements. So you have three elements of this bill, like we discussed. You have my bill, you have the Senate President's bill, and you have Senator Rick Ward's bill. And so, you have to make sure all the language works. You have to make sure everything's accurate, because we wouldn't want any small mistake to stop sports betting from coming to Louisiana this year or possibly early next year. So that's all it is. I do not see any major changes. We have not discussed any major changes. So I think you can expect the general theme of what we talked about becoming a reality here shortly for Louisiana.
So are we talking about cleaning up language? Is that the kind of stuff you're
possibly
talking about here?
Possibly, yeah. Just cleaning up language. Sometimes it's even a period here. It's an effective date. It's minor things that we're talking about.
So you are very confident that there's not going to be anything to come in at the last minute to derail this. See, that's my concern, that maybe you get sandbagged on this where you think everything's going fine, and then all of a sudden a coalition comes up here, or somebody loses votes there, and before you know it, what seemed like a pretty sure thing falls apart at 5:59.
No, look, I understand that, and I understand the possible skepticism, from the public. But no, look, the advantage we have on this bill, which is different than a lot of bills, is that there's a very powerful name behind this bill, and it's the Senate President. And for those of your listeners who don't know, that's about one of the maybe five most powerful people, in the state right now. So I'm very confident that the Senate President is going to make sure that bill passes. It is a huge priority for him. So no need to worry. We are running it down to the last day, but I have full confidence that sports betting will be legal, will be approved here in Louisiana very shortly.
Scale of 1 to 10, 10 being dead, solid, lock, certain.
10, 100%. Yeah, okay. 10. I don't want to be too confident. You gave me a hard time last time for being too confident.
Yeah, no.
But no, I'm 100% positive we're going to get this done. I don't see how we don't.
One thing that as I was reading more and more about this, this horse racing thing, betting on races that have happened already, I'm a little bit confused about how that works. Can you kind of go into that a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So what it's commonly called is historical horse racing. And so what they basically do, it's another method to be able to bet on races. So think about it. How many horse races are running at any given time in the country, or any given time locally? That's something that takes a while to set up. There's a lot of preparation, a lot of planning that goes into that. And so what you can do is you can take a race that has happened before with the same results, but you don't let anybody know who the names of the horses are, who the names of the jockeys are. All you let them know is enough information to where you can, as a bettor, you can make an educated decision on what horse they think is going to win, such as what's maybe the horse's record, what are the statistics of the horse, what type of jockey do they have. All those kind of things that people who commonly gamble on horse racing would use. Well, we do that, but we erase all of the information that would allow someone to say, well, I already know who's going to win this race. And then you do a simulation. So you place bets as a form of parimutuel wagering, which means that the odds are determined based on how other people bet at the time on this reenactment. And then they simulate the race again, and then you pick a winner. And so it's something that we've seen happen in, I believe, Kentucky and Arkansas have done this recently. It has substantially increased the amount of purses that they have, which means a more robust horse racing industry here in Louisiana.
But how can you make sure that the results of this race are not out there or known to somebody? That's what confuses me, and I don't mean to get caught up in the details here, but when I saw this, the concept just struck me as odd. I know it works in other places, but is this not information that would be available, or there's no way anybody could have a database that large?
Yeah, I mean, for everything that I've heard from the people that have explained it to me and explained the technology to me and explained how this works, it is, from what I understand, almost impossible to be able to know. I mean, look, the thing about horse racing is there is a level of skill. You know, I mean, it's that's why I always have these conversations with people of gaming versus gambling, you know, and mm-hmm. there's a difference. I think there's a level of skill in some of these bets, and this is one of them. So, I mean, obviously, yeah, people are going to be able to do better on this than some others. But as far as just being able to do an algorithm and just know who the winner is going to be before you place a bet, from what I've been told, it's nearly impossible or impossible in this case.
All right, let me take a quick break. We'll pick it up when we come back. We're talking to John Stefanski, Louisiana State Representative. Final day of the legislative session. I don't want him to gree anything or jinx anything. I would prefer that this be on the governor's desk awaiting his signature. We'll take a break and come back. If you got any questions, text them in the 504-260-1870. I'll be glad to pass them along. Final day of the legislative session. They gavel it out at 6 p.m. We'll be back in a flash on WWL. It is currently 9:26, continuing our conversation with John Stefanski, Louisiana State Representative. He's become our bestest buddy as it relates to sports wagering. So procedurally, John, and I'm not trying to cross-examine you here or anything, but what happens from here? Because you, Paige Cortez, and Rick Ward are the conferees that get together on this to hammer out whatever differences there are?
Exactly, yeah. So on the House side, I believe it is, so the chairman of the Criminal Justice Committee, which is Ted James, it is the speaker, Clay Scheck-Snyder, and it's myself. And then on the Senate side, I believe it's Rick Ward, Senator Cortez, and I think the third one would probably be Gary Smith, because he's the chairman of the counterpart committee on the other side. And so, yeah, that's basically what you do. Anytime a bill is sent into conference to work out disagreements between the House and the Senate, we sit down, usually, you know, at a group of us or in individual meetings, and we sit down and we discuss, hey, look, here are some changes that we made. Here's how y'all had the bill. Let's find a middle ground or convince me why your way of doing things is better. And then you work it out. You come up with what's called a conference committee report, which is the final version of the bill. And then you have to get that passed on both sides. So that is likely what will happen in Senator Cortez's bill.
So it seems as though everybody on those conference committees are friendly to this?
Correct. Yes.
So it would seem as though that should be hammered out pretty easily, right?
Yeah, and there is another option. The Senate president could decide, hey, look, we don't need to make any changes to the bill. So I'm going to actually just discharge the conference committee, meaning just say, hey, there's no need for that, and I'm just going to adopt the changes that the House made to it. And so that's a possibility as well, and that may be something that the Senate president does today also.
So if that happens, then there's no more vote. They then go back to the House because they're accepting the House changes. Then the Senate votes on it?
Correct. Just the Senate would have to vote on it in that way. The other way where it comes out of conference, both the House and the Senate would have to agree to it.
So in terms of the opposition to this, are you hesitant at all about having it go before a full House vote? Or do you think the same votes are there that you had before? Or would it be?
Yeah, I think I got 78 votes on his bill, I believe. Uh-huh. So I think those votes are still there. You know, this it's a pretty agreed upon regulatory framework that we came up with. I think everybody understands it now. We've debated it heavily, and I've spent probably spent at least over an hour at the mic explaining uh-huh. both this element and the other two. So I think people understand it. I'm not worried. I'm really not. I think, you know, the huge advantage we have is that the Senate president's name is on the bill. So I think we're going to be fine. I know it is a priority, again, like I said, of the Senate president, and it's a huge priority of mine as well. We're going to get it done. I have full confidence.
And in terms of Louisiana Family Forum, they've pretty well given up on this. Their opposition?
Well, no, I mean, they're still opposed, you know, and I've had those conversations with the advocates, and it's just a, you know, it's a difference of opinion. You know, there's a voice out there that says all forms of gambling/gaming is bad. Anytime you are wagering your money, it allows for you know, it allows for money that could be spent on what maybe they see as other priorities. So, you know, it's just a fundamental difference. I believe that people should I believe a couple of things. Okay, number one, people are already doing this. Okay, people are already placing sports wagers, and they've been doing it for a long time. Number two, we asked the voters if they wanted this. We put it on the ballot, and the voters said yes. Okay, overwhelmingly said yes. So really, you know, it's about freedom of choice, and it's about the will of the state. You know, as a state and as lawmakers, we come up with what as a society are things that are acceptable to us and what are things that are not. And this is one that pretty clearly the people of Louisiana have spoken and said, this is something we want to happen. And so as a legislator, you know, to me, my constituents have asked for this. The people around the state of Louisiana have overwhelmingly asked for this. And it's our duty to make sure that it goes and becomes a reality. And I think we've done that in a efficient, tailored, effective manner with these bills that we have put forward.
And maybe I should have phrased it differently. When it comes to Louisiana Family Forum, are they still actively opposing this? Are they buttonholing people, or are they just it's a philosophical thing at this point?
No, look, absolutely. I think if it came for another vote, you'd see the same opposition that I've seen throughout this process. I think that's would be a fair statement to say. And I think they've been very consistent in their reasoning behind that. You know, they just believe for the family unit, you know, any form of gambling is a bad thing, and it leads to addiction, and it leads to money that's leaving the household. You know, they've been pretty consistent with that argument, and I understand where they're coming from. I just see it a little differently. You know, I do. I believe in freedom of choice. I believe in this realm. I believe you have to make the best personal decision for you if you want to use your money that way. And you know, a part of the element of this is we're providing services for that addiction. You know, we're pumping money into counseling and into gambling addiction services. So we're trying best as our state, as the leaders of the state, to be able to balance those two.
And, John, I'm not trying to ask you the same questions over and over, but I got to tell you, having lived here all my life and knowing some of the shenanigans that have gone on in Baton Rouge, once it gets to the governor, is there anything opponents can do to gum it up there? Or at what point will you sit back, put your feet on a desk and say, all right, it's done?
Well, I mean, look, obviously the governor has to sign this bill, or he has to either what we call, say, take no action. Okay. Mm-hmm. Meaning he could just choose not to sign it. Then it will become law. Yeah. And I mean, that'll be I'll feel pretty good today after we get it passed. But obviously, I'll be, you know, watching closely, making sure that the governor does sign it. But as I've explained before, the fact that the governor signed the tax and lottery infrastructure bill gives me full confidence that he's prepared to sign this. Now, I have not heard that from his mouth, you know, but it gives me full confidence that he'll do that. And when he puts his ink on the paper, that's when I'll kick the feet up and go, all right, we got it done.
And not to be what's the word I'm thinking of? Overdo it, but Paige Cortez is the president of the Senate, and that's something that is a very important consideration, as you've said before, in all of this. So,
100%. Yeah, that's a big element in this whole process.
And the only other thing I would say is I'm not a degenerate gambler or anything, but the reason I'm so concerned with this is because we're losing money on it. It's going to Mississippi. People, as you said, are doing it anyway. In terms of philosophy, the voters approved this, so it's not as though anybody is getting anything shoved down their throat. And I'm just concerned that the process works. And in terms of money that Louisiana is missing, do you have an estimate on how much this would add to the Treasury?
So, I had a few estimates early on. You know, I had some as high as up to $50 million, some projections said, and then as low as $15 million I've seen. I think my best estimate, I think we're looking at anywhere between the $20 and $30 million range annually That's what I believe. I think with the structure that we've set up, you know, and every time we would adjust that tax rate, obviously those numbers would fluctuate. But it is difficult for them to be able to pinpoint how much it's going to do. But the reality is that we have the full mobile aspect here in Louisiana, which is different than what other states have. Some states force you to actually place the bets in person. And I think that's going to mean if New Jersey has taught us anything, looking at their model, is that is a significant money raiser compared to the states that do not have mobile. So I expect it is going to be a significant amount of money. Now, it's not going to be $100 million a year to the state in revenue. You know, I don't think you're seeing anything like that. But the overall business is going to be really, really big. Like, the amount of money that's going to flow through sports betting is going to be really big. But if we're talking about the money in tax revenue that's coming to the state and going to our locals, I think a good range is that $20 to $30 million. I think that's being realistic.
You do understand us being skeptic, right? Or at least being concerned.
Oh, 100%. Hey, I'm still skeptic. You know, I still put myself in the position of just a citizen. You know, a lot of people don't realize, you know, state representative is a part-time job. You know, I still have to go home. I still have to work a normal job. And I still continue to put myself in the position of, I still remember when I was just sitting at home critiquing the legislature myself. So I fully understand that. And look, I'm a pessimist a lot of the times about the process and about the realities of how difficult it is to do anything, you know. So I fully get it. I understand why you may be a little skeptical, why your listeners would be. 100% get that.
I was up late last night. Thank you, John. I appreciate your time. Any final thoughts or not?
No, look, I appreciate the ability to be able to talk about this. This is, like I said, the voters of Louisiana voted for this, and we felt it was very important, both Senator Ward, President Cortez, and I, to make sure this becomes a reality. We're on the brink of that right now. I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can to get this done, and I have full confidence that we will get it done. The next step is pushing Gaming Control Board to make sure we get it as soon as possible. But thanks so much.
We'll start eating that elephant when it happens. Thank you, John. Have a good day. I know you're going to be busy. John Stefanski, Louisiana State Representative. And again, I'm not a degenerate gambler, but the state does need the money. It's happening anyway. And I don't think there's anything that'll get a voter more angry than you express your opinion at the poll, your preference, you tell them what you want, and then the legislator feels as though, nah, I think I know better than you do, so I'm going to vote against it.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.